Hello and welcome to the Geek Embassy Geeks Out over Motor Crush. I'm your host, Regina McMenemy, and this is a live interview that I did recently at the Rose City Comic Con. I had the distinct pleasure of being able to interview Brendan Fletcher, Cameron Stewart, and Babs Tarr. And if you are a fan of comic books, you will know them from the revamp of Batgirl. Well, they have an independent one coming out from Image Comics called Motor Crush. And it's absolutely fantastic. I've read the first volume and you need to check it out. So what follows is the live interview. And as always, live interviews have a lot of distractions, as you'll see as we go through the interview. So check that out. And yeah, get your geek on here with the Geek Embassy Geeks Out.
Okay, so,
Are we recording? Oh, we are recording.
Yes. So I wanted to know a little bit about like what some of the influences were that you guys had to start this store. Like, where did this kind of come together?
The initial influence was, it's a Japanese animated series called Furikuri, FLCL.
Okay.
And when I wrote up the initial document on this, that's what I had in mind. But bringing it to the group and like workshopping it with everybody, it started to take on new life, and I feel like other things sort of fit with it. But I mean, these two brought, Babs and Cameron brought so many other cool things all of them. Talk about.
A lot of my influences came from my own aesthetics that I just wanted to see in the comic and draw, because right. I'm going to have to be the one doing all that.
So, okay.
Like, I grew up in like a beach city, so like I wanted like palm trees and I wanted the environment to be interesting. So we did like a very Brazil-inspired kind of city, Rio, and I wanted all the clothes to be like summery, because that's my favorite stuff to draw. And then, I don't know, Splatoon is this new video game I started playing, and it's very hyper-branded, and I was like, oh my god, NASCAR is just like that, racing things, it's all sponsored and logos and
that was part of what I was going to ask, because the drawing and the way it's drawn with the like... The digital influence is so clear, like with the screens and like touch here to go in and all that kind of stuff. So I was wondering about.
Well, that the influence for that is from Starship Troopers.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
All right.
And you remember in Starship Troopers, there's the info things at the beginning, and it always is, do you want to know more?
Right. And there's like the touch here thing.
But it came about as a story need. It wasn't written into the script initially.
Okay.
It was a solution to well, we just felt like
something more interesting than a classic narrative box that tells you like.
Right.
We actually wrote a scene originally where it had a more typical sports announcer doing the exposition,
right.
And it felt outdated already.
Right.
It felt old with like a an announcer. So we tried to think of what we could do to make it feel a little more.
That's Scotty Young. He got some beer. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. That's all right.
Sorry, podcast listeners.
My children are in another state. This is what happens when that happens. Okay.
It's beer late enough. It's okay. I had a beer at 11:30, so we're good.
I hope all this is going in.
Yeah, it's all going in.
I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about?
How you were using the digital sort of to help.
Oh, yeah. So
because the announcer seemed old.
It seemed old-fashioned and outdated already, and so we tried to come up with a way that made it feel a little more contemporary.
Well, it stands out so much. It's so different that I loved the difference of that.
And that's our amazing designer, Tom Mueller, who does those as well. The guy who designed the logo and the book design and everything, he does those captions within the book as well.
I like that it adds like a sci-fi feel without me having to like do too much.
Without
of that.
The graphics having to be sci-fi, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so I have to ask about pink, because it is so pink. Now I have a 3.5-year-old at home, so everything is pink. A girl, and everything is pink in my life, so it forced it out to me for that. But was that just like? I mean, I know the crush is pink and all that, but was that like something you were thinking about intentionally, or
again, very indulgent, using my favorite colors? I remember Cameron specifically mentioning that he wanted the crush to glow like kryptonite.
Right.
I was like, well, we can't have the green.
Right.
I was like, hot pink. What if it was hot pink? And that just kind of...
Yellow's kind of overdone, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so the pink stands out.
Sunshiny a lot and, summery. And, you know, the city's kind of, like, run by it. So I thought it would be cool if, like, well, what if it just fuels this whole economy of this whole city? So, like, the pink in the city scene kind of influence that.
Yeah.
I wanted, like, a sickly kind of bile green, kind of greenish-brown, but...
But it, like, it affects everything, and it changes the pages with such a, I don't know, more excitement. Like, I feel this rush more, I guess, like, the rush from it, because it's pink, because pink isn't seen as much.
Yeah. And also, like, one of my influences, Drive and, like, neon lights and, like, have that whole feel.
Yeah.
And I feel like neon pink was such, like, a instrumental to, like,
the
movie.
Yeah.
And I just, you know.
Right.
I love it. It's indulgent.
So how does the process work between the three of you to kind of bring the story together?
Well, we talk about it all together as a group. I mean, on Batgirl, when we worked together, Cameron and I talked the story through. Sometimes we would incorporate some of Babs's requests, like she would have specific things she would like to draw, and we'd try to fit them into the story.
Like, shockingly, but, you guys make it work. It's the most ridiculous thing.
It's like a fun game.
But right.
How do we fit this ridiculous stuff in the story?
Yeah. Luchador Batgirl.
Now,
she wrestles tigers. I don't know.
But now it's the three of us sort of kicking around the story ideas.
Right.
We settle on some things. Cameron and I talk a little bit more about it. I do an initial breakdown of how it might work on all the pages, and then kick that over to Cameron. That's where you take it.
Oh, no, I
get
it. And then
well-oiled machine.
Yes.
Then what I would do is I would take what he sort of did as a rough breakdown of the issue, and I would literally draw it all out. I would draw the whole thing as the comic and sort of figure out the pacing, and I would streamline what he wrote. You know, sometimes he would write a scene, and there would be three characters in it that I would go, you know what, I don't think these characters are needed. And just cut them out. And so that would be like the second draft. And then I would, you know, write in sort of rough ideas for dialogue literally on the page in word balloons.
Right. And then, I can do the acting.
Okay.
And then that goes over to Babs and she
draws it. Colors.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And then at that process, then once we've seen how the artwork is coming together, then Brendan and I would do like a final dialogue sort of pass, and
and that's a thing that we kick back and forth, and our editor takes a look at it.
Right.
And, you know,
yeah, well,
we all kind of chime in. Babs chimes in sometimes if a scene kind of feels off,
right?
Especially, and we'll retool it. Yeah.
I feel like
it's a very collaborative process.
It's very easy to like overwrite it before the pictures come in, and then you're like, you know what? I don't think we need as much dialogue.
Right. Well, that was one of the things. Who I wrote this down. Someone in an image panel earlier today said that she wanted to focus on comments because you can feel more than read. So where the feeling is kind of coming off the page.
Like, one of the things I remember you saying is that you should be able to know what's going on without the dialogue.
Yes.
There.
Yeah, exactly.
And I thought that was so brilliant, and it stuck with me. And
yeah.
Like, he wanted you to be able to look over, like, me to look over the layouts and, like, not need the words to know what's going on.
Right.
And how the scene feels and the tone and all that.
Right.
Duh.
Putting all that in.
Cameron's layouts are so good for that. I mean, it's a rare occasion that we need to read the dialogue. You know, sometimes it happens. We get a big block of expository information that we have to get out.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the emotions of the characters, the action of the scene,
and the conflicts,
they're all there in the.
Well, and that's what's. So I'm also interested in sort of like how you came to have her like be official and unofficial at the same time, because like the war between like what she does on the street and what she does like on camera and her persona, or different personas.
It's probably two things. Probably that creates more drama.
Yes.
Drama makes good storytelling.
Yes.
And the other thing is we just came off of Batgirl where
there's some superhero tropes in it for sure.
Yeah,
but we also
absolutely
subvert that right away, because we basically have her reveal our identity like in
immediately
issue two.
In
like,
the, yeah.
But
yeah.
We started with the idea of her like, this is kind of like her nighttime superhero.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Nobody knows who she is.
And how did you pick racing? Did that, like, just one of those things that, like, you guilty?
I drew a few badass ladies on motorbikes, and they're just like, oh, we should do a story with that. Right. Bab is obviously likes it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a girl walking as Lolo walking around today. I don't know if it's like, I love it, but it's worth the impact of how cool it looks is worth the extra work to me.
Yeah.
And it's worth like making a story.
Yeah.
It's usually going to be about chess. Not visually interesting.
That would have, you know, a little harder time, kind of, you know, unless you have Garry Kasparov as, like, you know, the main character, maybe, I don't know.
I have a manga called Go about the
game Go. Yeah. Like, very interesting. All right, so let me see what else I had. What kind of, like, sort of overarching themes do you think are coming out of it now that you're kind of, like, 6 issues in, or right? Did I get that right?
6 issues just came out, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So how, like, what do you think, or what were you thinking of?
We're really playing with the notion of identity and destiny, you know, who controls who you are and who you come to make yourself into.
How the family kind of plays into that,
and you conflict with that. Exactly, family is another really big theme that we deal with.
I think the biggest one, without getting too much of the story away, is going to be about, like, do you do what you're obligated to do, or do you do what your heart wants?
Right, yeah. Cool. Well, that's an angel but awesome story, because everybody can relate to that on some level. All right, so tell our listeners where they can find you, what you want them to go do.
Babs Draws on Twitter, Instagram, all the things.
All the things.
I'm Twitter and Instagram. It's my name. It's Cameron M. for Mary. Well, not Mary. But Cameron M. Stewart.
Okay. It's Mary. You could be Mary. It could be M-E-R-R-Y. And you could be like, Hobbit. You know, it could be a thing.
I'm Brendan Fletcher on everything. B-R-E-N-D-E-N. F-L-E-T-C-H-E-R. And we'd really like you to check out Motor Crush. It's available everywhere now. The first collection is out in all bookstores. Comic bookstores. Bookstores.
Comixology. ImageComics.com.
It's only $10.
Yes. Do it. It's great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.